It seems like just yesterday that Los Angeles was lifting basketball's most coveted prize, and since then we've had the draft, trades, free agency, and luckily for us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is here to kick off the 2021 basketball season with a no-brainer for all customers, new and existing. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you a plus 75-point spread on the team of your choice on opening night. That's right. All you have to do is bet on any opening night game, and if your team doesn't lose by more than 75 points, you will double your money. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code MHS when you sign up to get a plus 75-point spread on opening night for a shot to double your money. That's code MHS to get a shot at doubling your money on opening night for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Everybody, welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. I got a place you should go for dinner tonight. Talking about Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. I've been talking about their barbecue for a long time. You know why? It's outstanding. It is easily the best in town. Smoked ribs, fantastic. Love their smoked wings. They have this smoked corned beef Reuben I love. Outstanding sides as well. If a kid loves macaroni and cheese at Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, that is quite an endorsement because most kids like mac and cheese out of a box. Not my daughter. She thinks it's the best out there, and I make macaroni and cheese, and I think it's darn good, and she likes the macaroni and cheese better from Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. So thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it. As far as beans go, Dave does it better than anybody else. They also have great non-barbecue options. They have two fantastic locations in the Denver metro area. One is in Centennial off of Arapahoe Road. The other one is in North Denver. Second hour of the show, giving away $20 to go to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. How many UNC shirts do you have?
Good question. Sweatshirts, I got two.
Two?
Yeah.
You got two.
Two t-shirts, a polo shirt, a couple of t-shirts.
Wow. You're a big fan.
I mean, you're covered all year.
Yeah.
You know, winter. You know, when you're covered in the winter, you're covered in the summer. You've the polo shirt means you've got something that you can wear to the office or wherever. You know,
you just
want to be prepared for all the decisions and situations that you might face. Today, it's kind of a cold day. I wanted a warm outfit, and also because we're still in kind of pandemic mode, doing all the coverage of the Denver Broncos from home.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm still in sweatpant mode.
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, Drew Locke met the media today, saying he likes the idea about Pat Shurmur and Mike Shula returning for next season. He said, quote, "That would be awesome. It'd be my first comforting feeling since my sophomore year in college, being able to have Josh Heupel in back-to-back years." Well, there has been some tension between Shurmur and Locke. You've heard the same thing, right?
Yeah.
With that...
A while ago, though. Not in recent weeks.
Right. With that, you really think this is what Drew Locke wants today?
I think it's because he sees progress in the offense. If there had not been progress in the offense, not been progress in giving him game plans that he could work with, I don't think he'd be saying that. But you see growth, and now it's like, okay, let's see where this goes next year rather than shaking it up and changing it all over again. Because that season, sophomore year going into his junior year at Mizzou, when Josh Heupel was the offensive coordinator both years. Well, the second year was Drew Locke's best season by far relative to his level that he's had since he first stepped on the Mizzou campus. So maybe on some level he recognized continuity helped him have his best year with things trending in a positive direction in his last three starts. Continuity is probably the better way to go here.
Well, let's look at another young player that's gone through some flux, for lack of a better phrase. Baker Mayfield is having his best season, right? No doubt that Stefanski is going to be the head coach next year, right? He's had three offensive coordinators in 3 years, or three head coaches in 3 years, hasn't he?
Yes.
I mean, that's nuts. But it's funny, Garrett Bowles, I think, has had like 9 starting quarterbacks since 2017. And two head coaches and multiple offensive coordinators. Instability is a recipe for a football team that is not going to be very good. And that's where the Broncos have been for a long time.
Well, just think about the last 5 years for the Broncos. They go, you know, they go from Rick Dennison to Mike McCoy to Bill Musgrave to Rich Gangarello to Pat Shurmur. So what's the one thing they haven't tried?
Getting John Elway to hire the right guy in the first place?
Or just continuity. They haven't tried continuity.
Or getting John Elway to hire the right guy in the first place? Ask me again.
Well, are you going to give me that answer again?
I am, because really that is the answer, unfortunately. The reason why you have so much instability is John Elway keeps hiring the wrong guys. We could talk about his drafts all day. It has gotten better.
Should he have kept Rich Gangarello after last year?
You can make the
when there was progress for Drew Lock in those last 5 starts.
You can make the case Elway should have kept Scangarello, but I think Vic wanted Scangarello out. And Scangarello was not Vic's hire. It was John Elway's hire, who Scangarello was highly recommended by Mike Shanahan.
Now, who would you say Pat Shurmur's hire is, Vic Fangio's or John Elway's?
It's absolutely Vic Fangio's
right,
hire. We both know that.
So it's in other words, it's not John Elway hiring the right guy here. It's Vic Fangio hiring the right guy.
Well, one time, the head coach hired the right guy. Listen, in Vance Joseph's second season, he was able to be in the kitchen a little bit more to make more decisions on the coaching hires, right? Because the guys that Vance Joseph got, they were given to him. Hey, Vance, you're the head coach. This is your coaching staff. Hope you like who I picked for you. Because really, that's the way it was. When I was doing the show at Les, we had Vance Joseph on our show live. And we asked him, have you met with Mike McCoy yet to be your offensive coordinator? And he said no. You know what we found out later? Essentially, while Vance Joseph was doing that interview, McCoy was meeting with John Elway. How do you like that?
Convenient.
Yeah. Is he going to be your offensive coordinator? I don't know. I haven't talked to him. Oh, okay. Well, it might be because you're talking to us and Elway's talking to McCoy. That might be why. Interesting, huh?
It's a different way of going about the process.
Usually the head coach picks the guys that he wants to be on his coaching staff. Rarely does a GM pick the guys who are going to be on the coaching staff, unless the head coach is established as a head coach. Vic Fangio was not established as a head coach. Vance Joseph was not established as a head coach. Gary Kubiak picked the guys he wanted because he was established. The problem was, ironically, that two of the guys on Kubiak's staff, Elway couldn't get rid of fast enough. And that's one reason why Kubiak didn't come back. One reason why. Because Kubiak said, I want to keep these guys. Elway said, you're not keeping these guys. And Kubiak said, maybe it's time for me to leave. And I don't want to be a head coach again. And then he wound up going with the Minnesota Vikings as basically their offensive coordinator / assistant head coach / running backs head coach / offensive guru, even though he doesn't have a real title there.
Loyalty is a laudable characteristic in general. And certainly Gary Kubiak is loyal to Rick Dennison and to Brian Perriani.
Yes.
I mean, we should all be
right.
So lucky
right.
to have a friend in our
right.
work lives
right.
who believes in us the way that Kubiak believes in Dennison and Perignon.
You know the old saying, when you marry somebody, you marry their family as well. Well, Perignon and Dennison are part of that family. They are front row at the wedding.
Yeah.
And they are walking down the aisle as well.
They're not
in some fashion.
They're not pieces of furniture.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're family. At minimum, they're the family dog and cat.
Right.
And you're not, unless you're a horrible person, you're not tossing them on the street.
With that, if there is a year two with Locke and with Shermer, do you think that Locke and Shermer are currently on the same page?
I think they are now.
I think they are now, too.
I think that's the big thing now. One of the interesting things that came up with what Drew Locke was talking about was, you know, he mentioned how it was a good thing that he's throwing down the field less. And so I found that interesting because Locke in the past has talked about he's got that gunslinger in him. He's going to want to push it downfield. So now he says he wants to kind of play a controlled game. And I thought, is this really because Drew Locke wants that? Or is it that he wants to succeed and he has hit a point where he realizes the gunslinger isn't going to get him where he wants to go? That actually, in some ways, it's encouraging because it's the realization that I have to change or I'm going to fail.
Well, I think there's a real twofer with that, and this is what I mean. Locke's ego wants to throw the ball down the field. He wants the big play. He feels confident in his arm. He had to check his ego at the door in the last game, and it went well, right? But Pat Shermer had to check his ego as well. I need to put Locke in a position to succeed, and if you're willing to tamp down your ego, and you're willing to tamp down your ego, maybe we can find a way to make this work. Right? I mean, I'll ask you. I don't know the answer to it. Do you think throwing to the running backs was Shermer's idea, or do you think it was Locke's idea?
I'd like to think it was both of their ideas. It should have been on every game plan to begin with. It's what I mean, when you sign Melvin Gordon, when you have Philip Lindsay coming back, part of your strategy should be to get them the ball as often as is reasonably possible. That's where you've invested your resources on the offensive side. That's where your strength is. But for too long in this season, for too many long stretches, they didn't buy into that. Now, at least recently, they have. I'm fascinated to see what happens on Saturday if they fall behind Buffalo, because that's going to be the test of all this. You know, against Kansas City, hey, it was a close game throughout the contest. Against Miami, they were up. Against the Panthers, they were up or only behind by a point. Against Buffalo, if they come out and they attack your cornerbacks, as I expect Josh Allen to do with a Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley and company, if they do that and you're sitting there and you have trouble containing them and you're down 14-3 or 17-7, do the Broncos have the nerve to stick with this?
Here, I'm going to take a guess here that throwing to the running backs is something that Pat Shermer wanted to do more of.
Well, he did it with Saquon Barkley.
That's what I was going to say. And here are the numbers that back it up. Saquon Barkley in his rookie season was targeted 121 times as a running back. Let me repeat that. He was targeted as a running back 121 times, and he had 91 catches. Do you think Pat Shermer likes throwing to his running backs?
And he doesn't have to have a star to do it, because you go back to you go back to the Vikings season with Case Keenum in 2017, a play-action heavy offense like the Broncos should be, and you've got three running backs that year who combined for 77 receptions.
So
that's five catches a game to the running back position.
So the point is, that is part of Pat Shermer's game plan. But quarterbacks who are young with egos to them, and there's nothing, listen, all athletes have egos. I'm not criticizing Drew Locke. But when you have an arm like him, you want to throw the ball downfield. You don't want to check down. That's not fun. That's not fun.
But you know what is fun, though?
Winning.
Winning right. is fun. And success is fun. And looking up and not seeing your name at the bottom of the league rankings
right.
in passer rating and QBR. That's fun.
And you know what? Those short little passes make your completion percentage look a whole lot better. Coming up after the break, MLB.com's John Morrissey put out a report on the Rockies. And my goodness, if this didn't make your heart skip a beat on what the Rockies, according to Morrissey, are trying to get done with the Mets, my goodness, where the Rockies franchise will go. If Morrissey's prediction is correct, this is a stunner. If indeed what Morrissey is predicting, if it happens, wow. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home or list your home, boy, do I have a great suggestion for you. You need to go with my guy, Vadim, at Home 303. I used to have my real estate license. I know good realtors when I talk to them and when I see them, when I work with them. Vadim is not only great at what he does, but he has a deal like no one I've ever seen. And what do I mean? Home 303 is the home of the 1% program. That means if you list with Vadim, it's 1% of the list price. Now, you're probably thinking, well, he's probably cutting corners someplace, isn't he? No, he's not. It is full service. There are discount brokers out there at 2%. He is not a discount broker. And on the buy side, his closing gift to you, because all, you know, brokers give closing gifts, usually like a $50 gift card to Home Depot or something like that. He's going to give you 1% back of your purchase price. That's crazy. That is great customer service that you're going to get from Vadim. I can promise you. But also, the price is right. Go with home303.com. That's home303.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Tivoli Brewing Company, Colorado's first established brewery in 1859. Get Colorado's original beer in your local liquor store or go to Tivoli in the heart of the Orrery campus.
MLB.com's John Morrissey, who's always in the nose, reporting the Rockies, quote, want to engage. Let me repeat that. Want to engage the Mets for a deal involving Nolan Arenado. And I'm guessing they want to engage because they don't want to engage with the Dodgers. But let's move on. Morrissey proposes Robinson Cano, who is out for the entire upcoming season because he got busted for PEDs again, would come back to the Rockies to help offset the money that'll be given to Arenado, while Morrissey also speculated that Brandon Nimmo and a prospect could round out the deal. The Rockies would reportedly use the freed up money from Arenado's deal to pay Trevor Story, who is set to become a free agent at the end of this upcoming season. I don't even know where to go with this.
Okay, well, first of all, if you're Trevor Story and they do this, why would you resign?
You would never resign.
Exactly. Second of all, the Mets. Let's focus on why it's the Mets.
Well, they have an owner who's that is ready to spend money.
$14.6 billion is the net worth of new Mets owner Steve Cohen, and he has made it more than clear that he is happy to spend to, at least in that market, gain parity with the Yankees.
Right.
And certainly that would make the Mets a much more competitive franchise if they're throwing around money when other teams, including the Yankees, are closing their wallets.
Right. Right. So let's look at this proposed deal. It doesn't mean this is the deal. This is what Morrissey's throwing out there, but I'm guessing he has talked to some people where he's coming up with these names. Robinson Cano, out for the upcoming season because of PED use. He still has a few more years left on his contract. Essentially, this would be a salary dump move.
Two more years, $48 million left. because he won't get paid for next year. Those are his 2022 and 2023 numbers, $24 million each year.
So with Nolan being paid 35, they're saving $11 million a year for a guy who's not going to play at all next year. Then you have Brandon Nimmo. If I'm not mistaken, isn't it Jeff Breidich who said one reason we didn't want to pay David Dahl was because of a couple of reasons. One, he's been injured a lot, and the other is we have so many outfielders. Brandon Nimmo's an outfielder.
Yeah, and Brandon.
So really, you're going to trade for an outfielder who isn't that great to begin with?
Yeah, and Brandon Nimmo in 2019 missed 93 games. Now, he played 55 of 60 games last year. He had a good season last year.
It doesn't matter. He's an outfielder.
Right.
And Jeff Bright has said, we don't need outfielders.
Right. He's a
period. I don't care if this guy's a 400 hitter. He said, we don't need outfielders.
He's a productive outfielder who in two of his three major league seasons has missed at least 20 plus games.
You know what's killing this deal? Jeff Breidich. What do I mean by that? It was his idea to put in the opt-out clause. Hey, listen, Nolan, before you sign anything, I'm going to add a sweetener to this thing. How about an opt-out clause after your third year? Why do you think teams don't want to give up a ton in case Arenado opts out? The chances of him opting out of New York are pretty slim. And maybe something could be signed where he's not opting out. But this is a salary dump of epic proportions. If you thought the Tulowitzki deal was bad, at least they tried to get back prospects from the Jays, along with a bad contract from Jose Reyes.
Another ex-Met.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
With that, Andrew, that deal in hindsight was awful. But at least there was a chance some of these prospects would work out. You're getting nothing in return, and I don't think fans will show up. I know you'll have people who want to go to the game because it's a neat place to go. There will be a revolt this time around if they trade Nolan Arenado, and these are the pieces involved.
Yeah, there will eventually, but not immediately, because when they open the gates back up next
spring, no one's really going anyway.
Summer, well, no. Well, first of all, they'll be limited for a bit. But when they open the gates back up full tilt, people will stream in, even to watch this bad team. And the thing, I mean, Nimmo is not a bad player, but he's a good player, but he's not. I mean,
I'm going to use Jeff Breidich's words against him.
Exactly. He's not somebody that is moving the needle, even though he is a local guy. He's from Cheyenne.
Jeff, I'm not a brain surgeon, using his words. I don't walk into your job if you're a brain surgeon and tell you how to do your job. Well, Jeff, I'm not a brain surgeon, but you said you didn't bring back David Dahl because you have a glut of outfielders. So if Nimmo is part of this deal, you lied to us. Just call it a salary dump and call it what it is. With that, would you rather make a deal like this or make a trade with the Dodgers, knowing you're going to get more in return?
Well, this is one of those things where you got pride that is kind of, as they said in Pulp Fiction, you got a feeling on the back of your neck, and that's pride. And then there was an obscenity in front of pride. You've got to think about what the best deal is for your organization, what brings back the most. And yeah, is it going to be hard if Nolan Arenado is in your division and you're facing him 19 times a year? Yeah, it is. But for the other 143 games that you're playing, are you getting back better from the Dodgers? Almost certainly, because their farm system right now is much deeper than that of the Mets. It has been much more productive. So the odds of you getting a better package in terms of prospects and quality are greater from the Dodgers than they are from the Mets, even though part of this deal with the Mets is a proven quality outfielder in Brandon Nimmo.
Danny, are you a Rockies fan?
I am a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Okay.
Lucky you.
Alex, who runs the controls on MileHighSports.com, are you a Rockies fan?
I'm a huge Rockies fan.
Good. I'm glad you said that. Just to make sure we're on the same page, Andrew, you're a huge Braves fan, right?
Yes.
Which franchise does a trade to the Dodgers involving Nolan Arenado hurt worse, the Rockies or the Braves?
If they trade him to the Rockies?
If Nolan Arenado gets traded to the Dodgers.
To the Dodgers.
Which team gets hurt worse? The Rockies or the Braves?
I would say the Rockies because they face him head to head.
Wrong.
No, because you know what the alternative is?
Yep.
For the Braves?
Yep.
Nolan Arenado being in the NL East.
No. Wrong, because the Mets are not your competition.
The Mets are going to be competition.
Eventually.
Because, probably pretty quickly, probably within the next two seasons, because they're going to be spending money when everyone else, like I said, is closing their wallet. The Mets, if they are competent, the Mets are a huge problem for the Atlanta Braves.
If they are competent, the Dodgers are competent. They know what they're doing. So in the next 2 years, when the Braves, if they're so fortunate, line up against the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, along with every great player they throw out there, now you get Nolan Arenado out of the Rockies. It doesn't affect them because they're irrelevant. It affects the Padres in the division and the good teams in the National League because now it's become even harder to win a pennant.
But your chances of even getting to that NLCS are enhanced by winning your division. And the Mets, if they have an unlimited budget, which it appears they will, and they are spending that money and they're figuring things out, the Mets are a bigger problem for a team in the NL East like the Braves than the Dodgers, because all of a sudden that means you got a better chance of being in that one and done piece of crap wild card farce of a game that should be a series but isn't.
Listen, you can look at it through any lens that you want to. Dodgers have one of the top farm systems in baseball. They have more money to spend than anybody else. They already have won a championship, and now they're picking up Arenado. So basically, the National League will look like what the Eastern Conference and the NBA looked like when Michael Jordan played. It doesn't matter who's the second seed or the third seed or the fourth seed. We know the Bulls are going to be going to the NBA Finals, and that's the way it'll be for the Dodgers if they pick up Arenado.
But if you're everybody else, you want to at least keep open the possibility that you wouldn't face LA.
But eventually you have to. I'll take my chances with the Mets and the what ifs, and let's see if they bring in good players and if they have a good.
Baseball has more random outcomes though. Baseball has a 116 win Mariners team losing in the ALCS. Baseball has teams that rack up 106, 108 wins that go marching out in the divisional.
The Braves are in their window right now, and you're taking one of the best players in the game and sticking him at third base. That just made your chances harder to get to the World Series. Not the Mets. They've got a long way to go. Mets have a long way to go.
But they've got
Dodgers are there.
Not as far as it would think, because you put together some guys that are in the everyday lineup and stack them with the very good rotation they already have.
Right.
Now you've got it. The Mets actually I hate saying this for them. Getting Arenado, if they pull it off, it makes sense for them because they have a chance to microwave this.
Okay. And then they still have to face the Dodgers with all of that talent and Arenado and that farm system.
But at least you're facing the
scouting.
At least you're facing the Dodgers. If the Braves are looking at the Mets and they lose the division, they might go marching out in that stupid one and done wild card game.
They might.
Yes.
3 years from now. But right now, the Braves window is open and you're putting Arenado on that team.
I'd still rather see him only six times in the regular season than 19.
Doesn't matter.
It's about the playoffs.
It's about the playoffs. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the playoffs. There's been a lot of chat. Should college football expand the college football playoffs? Quick yes or no. Should they?
Yes.
Hell no. We'll talk about it next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
A lot of talk about expanding the college football playoffs. I know this has been a crazy season, uneven season, and they've been talking about, well, they talked about expanding the playoffs. You think they should?
Absolutely. And it should be part of an overhaul reformation of college football of the FBS level. I mean, the bowls should be largely abandoned except as vessels to host playoff games. There should be a 24-team playoff with all conference winners plus 14 at-larges. And it would be the bigger than even the NCAA basketball tournament in terms of interest.
Here's my reason why they shouldn't. Would I like to see them do it? Yes. Does it make sense to do it? No. For this reason. Generally speaking, there are three, maybe four great teams in college football every year. And I understand any given Saturday, any given Sunday. I understand that. But let's just go back and look at the history. The two semifinal games. LSU beat Oklahoma 63-28, went on to win the national championship. I don't know who should have been replacing Oklahoma, but that was a dusting. The year before, Clemson beats number 3 Notre Dame 30-3. You can make the case Notre Dame had no business being in that game. Clemson won the national title. The year before, Alabama beat Clemson 24-6. That game wasn't close either. Alabama goes on to win the national title. I can go on and on. I'll just go to the previous year. Clemson in one of the semifinal games. Number 2, Clemson beating Ohio State 31-0. If that's the fourth best team, I'd hate to see what the fifth best team looks like. And I understand anything can happen, but you can barely cobble together four great teams. More or less 8. The games wouldn't even be competitive. Could you imagine having Cincinnati? I'm sorry, all due respect to Cincinnati. And let's see, who else would be in this year's playoffs? Cincinnati and Iowa State. Oh, those would be Alabama, Iowa State. That's going to be a fun game to watch. 74-6. I don't want to see that. I want to see the best teams. You could barely get four great teams. There's no point.
The problem is you're defining the playoff as only being about the end point, who wins. It's also a good postseason is about the games along the way. It's certainly in terms of revenue. And yes, right now, if you're attached to the bowl cartel, the bowl grift, the bowl gravy train, you don't want this system to go away because you're raking in the money right now. But
I don't care about the money. I care about watching the game, which I'm going to turn off after the first half.
And if you had a playoff system, if you had, say, the top 8 get byes, and then
you're putting 16 teams?
I'm putting 24 teams in an FCS.
Yes, I can't wait to see Coastal Carolina go up against Clemson. That game will be over after the first 3 drives.
It wouldn't be
Coastal
Carolina against Clemson.
You know what I mean.
And it would be probably... I mean, who's like number 11 right now? Like who?
Indiana.
It beat Coastal Carolina against Indiana or something like that.
I understand how that would work, but eventually when you whittle it down, you are looking at blowouts of epic proportions.
Mm.
What do you mean? How about, okay.
No, you're not necessarily looking at it like that.
I am.
You're looking at it as... Okay, first of all, you get the best in the group of 5 that are playing maybe not top 5 teams in that in the Power Five in the first round. They're playing like teams 9, 10, 11, 12 in the range of where you'd see some upsets. The other thing that I think would happen over time is that if you had a broader playoff experience, if you had 24 teams, I think you would see gradually talent be a little bit better dispersed throughout college football, and you would see more parity develop.
You're just delaying.
To where you wouldn't have these series of blowouts.
You are delaying the inevitable. The year before, Alabama, number 2, played number 3, Michigan State, 38-0. And then Alabama, of course, went on to win the national title.
Would a playoff,
you're just delaying the inevitable.
No, would a playoff have resulted? It would have resulted in Michigan State being the semifinalist? Maybe Michigan State, because they're a paper tiger, maybe they get knocked out by the 14th seed in the round of 16 that's played around New Year's Day. You know, Michigan State goes up against like Georgia or somebody like that year, and they lose in the Peach Bowl on New Year's Day, and then all of a sudden you've got another team with momentum that is going up against that Alabama team in the semifinal. You've completely changed the dynamic. The one thing we know is this dynamic doesn't work. The bowl structure is completely farcical. If you drew up a sport right now and said, we're going to have a postseason where we're going to play 37 functionally meaningless exhibition games at the end of the year. Oh, by the way, a lot of these schools are going to lose money going to these bowls because they have to buy the tickets and then sell them back to their fans. The whole thing is a grift, a cartel, a farce. No one in their right mind would create a system like this.
Games wouldn't be fun to watch. They just wouldn't be.
How do you know?
They're not fun
right now.
So let's
try something different.
So what we'll do is we will thin out the pancake batter so we can have more pancakes. And you know what happens when you thin out the pancake batter? The pancakes are worse, meaning the games will be worse.
Not just about the champion. It's about the games along the way. You'd have some great games along the way.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, speaking of bowl games, there's been another opt-out. We'll talk about that. And also, Lewis Riddick interviewing for a couple GM vacancies this week. We'll talk about which one is the more attractive job on the other side. That's next on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, another school has decided to opt out of its bowl game, and it will end the longest bowl streak in the nation at 27 years, with Virginia Tech now opting out of their bowl game. Thoughts on that decision by the Virginia Tech players?
I'll tell you, because of the streak.
Can I just say something real quick?
Now, yes, go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off. Oh. Virginia. Okay, that's it.
All right. Because of the streak that you mentioned, Danny, 27 years.
What's the name of the team?
Can I finish my thought first?
Just say it.
Virginia Tech.
Oh, come on. You can do better.
Virginia Tech. There you go. Because of that streak, this has been something that had been a hot topic back in the Commonwealth the last few days. Virginia had already opted out. Of course, they played the Commonwealth Cup there last weekend, and Tech won the game. But the thought was, okay, will Tech's players vote just to extend the streak? The other thing is, we have now seen four ACC schools opt out. Pitt, Boston College, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. And I think part of that is because in the ACC, they were able to get to pretty close to a full season. Tech got to 5-6. That made them eligible for a bowl in this crazy year. But for example, you're in the Pac-12 and you're CU and you're what? You're 4-1? You're more likely to play because you had a short season. Whereas you've been in the ACC, you started playing in early to mid-September. You were practicing in August. It has been such a long slog that I think what you're seeing is in the conferences where they were able to play something close to a full season, guys just want to go home because they've been dealing with the testing and the protocols and everything since August. If they're not playing for something meaningful, they want to go home. So I think you'll see Kansas State opted out.
Yep.
Another conference where they basically were able to get pretty much a full season in. So I think you'll see more schools in those conferences that got a full season in opt out. And then the bowls might be populated with a lot of Big Ten and Pac-12 schools that played, three, four, five games, but they want to play one more.
Who's the there's another team in that state. They're called the Rams. Who are they?
They're VCU.
Right, but what's the acronym stand for?
Virginia Commonwealth University.
I got nothing.
What you want me to just go through it all?
Nope,
I really don't. There's Virginia Tech. There's University of Virginia. There's Virginia Union. There's Virginia State. There's Virginia Commonwealth. There's West Virginia and the other state across the border. Shall I go on?
I'm good.
All right. The Virginia Squires of the ABA.
I just got my fill of Virginia.
Whatever.
Just in case you missed it, Lewis Riddick interviewing for at least two GM positions this week. He met with the Texans today on that job and will meet with the Lions on Friday to interview for that position. Which opportunity is the more promising job, the one in Houston or the one in Detroit?
Well, you'd have to go with Houston, even though both have quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson is better and younger. Now, you're basically saying, all right, we're going to this draft in 2021 is written off because you've dealt your top picks to the Miami Dolphins. But long term, I think Houston is the better play.
Yeah. Go team with the best quarterback.
Yeah. Stafford is fine.
He's older.
Yeah, he's older. And if you're ranking the quarterbacks, he's probably somewhere between about 12th and 16th.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson's a legit top 10, top 8 quarterback. It's easy. You can win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. Easy.
Just in case you missed it, the Division I Council has voted to grant a blanket waiver for the entire NCAA for all sports. So anyone who transferred in a D1 school can play immediately if they are academically eligible. Thoughts on this by the NCAA? Should it be a permanent transfer waiver going forward?
COVID, no COVID. This should have happened years ago, if not decades ago. It's so archaic, that rule. Please.
When coaches can hop from one school to another, lickety split, and players have to sit out. It's been a long time coming. Now, that being said, fascinating to see what impact this ends up having, especially for basketball next season. I think that's where it's going to be felt most profoundly.
All right, coming up after the break, I'll tell you about that in a second, but I do want to tell you, was that a smooth tease or what?
Smooth like silk?
No, it wasn't smooth at all.
I know.
That was Mountain High
Smooth
Appliance.
Smooth like sandpaper?
That's what it felt like. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. You cannot do that at the big box stores when you're buying a car. You want to test drive it first, don't you? You should want to do that with your appliances. It's a big, big investment. So why not try it out before you buy it? You go to Mountain High Appliance, really experienced sales staff. You can find them in Louisville. You can find them in Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Vic Fangio met the media today and some really good news on the injury front. Who is going to be playing? Well, guys are starting to come back. We'll tell you. And will it make a difference anyway? That's next.